Well, welcome back to the XR Industry Leaders Podcast with Arbor XR. I am your host, Brad Scoggin, CEO and co-founder of Arbor XR, along with my co-host, Will Stackable, also a co-founder and our CMO. And today we have a fun update. We haven't talked much about AR on the show, but today we get to sit down with Ralph Jodas, who is the GM of North America for XReal, and Amir Khorram, who is the global head of enterprise for XReal. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Would love to just, before we jump into what XReal is and some of the fun updates you guys have, maybe give us kind of a quick background on each of you and how you got to XReal and what you do there.
Yeah, happy to do it. And again, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys. This has always been good. And then to talk to the audience. So really thank you. So hey, I'm Ralph, General Manager for XReal for North America, coming to you from Seattle, Washington today. I just crossed my 2-year milestone with XReal, which feels really great. Really excited about crossing that milestone. I've been sitting here with XReal for 2 years, mostly leading our efforts to expand into North America, to expand our footprint in the United States with a focus on partnerships and publicity. I come from a PR background and communications, spent 12 years with Xbox before this, so really deep in gaming, and have been bringing some of that gaming consumer focus into this AR space, which has just felt like the right time to come into AR, right? We are on the verge of moments. So it was exciting to transition from such a big machine as Xbox into this thing that is XReal that has really been growing and taken off the past few years. So thrilled to be on the show and really happy to just cross that 2-year milestone with my guys at XReal.
And for those of you who are just listening, I should note, Ralph is wearing glasses right now. They are glasses. So it's like, he's proven a point that you can wear them. And so we said you have to wear them the whole show to prove it. So we'll see if he can handle it. But Amir, we've known each other for years.
He's been averaging 4 to 5 hours a day using them. So we'll hear more about that later. A little teaser.
I don't think you typically hear that with VR. So yeah, go ahead.
If anyone can handle it, it'll be Ralph. So just quick intro for me, guys. Thank you again for having me. Really excited to be back on here with you guys, Brad and Will. So my name is Amir Khorram. I'm the global head of enterprise for XReal. I've spent the last 10 years in XR and more specifically in enterprise VR. Spent some really quality years at HTC and the Vive team and then over at Pico. And just with the growth of augmented reality and all it's bringing to the enterprise space, was afforded a really amazing opportunity to join this team and help accelerate the expansion of AR in the enterprise world. We'll probably talk about it a bit on this podcast, but there's so many amazing use cases that are unfolding. Some that we're familiar with from just years in XR, and I think some really exciting new ones as well. So glad to be here, guys.
Yeah, Amir, that's great. I'm excited to hear about some of the use cases for sure. Before we hop into that though, Ralph, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you could share with our audience what exactly is that XReal, and kind of walk through the recent expansion from just focusing on consumer to now moving into the enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting journey that's got us in a really unique kind of full circle moment. So XReal is the global market leader for AR. And I don't mean just AR glasses like I'm wearing. I mean for all of AR. And we've achieved that as a company that's just 8 years old. So we just crossed our 8-year anniversary earlier this year. And when we came into this space, we saw a need for lightweight split compute AR glasses. We saw an opportunity for that. The transition of big bulky VR helmets into something like what I'm wearing now, lightweight split compute, which is my tether plugged into today, my PC, but easily my phone, my Steam Deck, whatever. Because we believe to bring AR to everyone, we need to rely on the host device that's really, really good at compute. We don't need to put all that into the glasses today because there's not processors and there's not batteries in here. When you put processors and batteries into glasses, they get hot, heavy, and expensive. And that's three things moving in the wrong direction. So from day one, we wanted to keep the heat down, the weight down, and the cost down, which is why we do split compute. So we've been doing that as a company. We've been working on this for 8 years. We've been shipping glasses since 22. Since 2022, we've shipped over 600,000 units, and that's our market leadership position. That's far and away more AR products than anybody. That includes Magic Leap. That includes HoloLens. That includes the other folks who have gone into the glasses space as well. So we're really focused on display, wearable displays or spatial computing, but displays is our bread and butter, big cinematic virtual displays. And the unique full circle moment for us is we've got that 600,000 units. That's really consumer focused. Video display glasses, plug into your Steam Deck, your Nintendo Switch, your iPhone, your Android phone, your PC, your Mac, boom, giant screen. We're very good at that. But when we launched our very first pair of glasses back in like late 21, early 22, what got us our first attention was full spatial computing. It wasn't just the wearable display. It was SLAM sensors. It was LiDAR. It was sixth-off. It was three-off. It was gesture control. It was more than the industry was ready for or developers were ready to meet us at the time. So we started with enterprise, but recognized like the sales weren't there, the audience wasn't there, the developers weren't there yet. They were still in VR helmets. And we transitioned into the wearable display where we pulled back a lot of that technology and went really hard into the consumer space and have been successful in the consumer space. But we realized then after 3-4 years of being successful selling glasses in the consumer space, we're leaving so much on the table by not coming back to enterprise. And that's just a transition we just started making in June, is a commitment to come back to the enterprise space, to focus on enterprise customers and clients, to give them unique services with the same hardware that's proven to be successful with consumers because it just works. It's just easy. But giving them the right services and software they need to deploy for whatever they want to create in their company or with their customers and clients. So that's what's kind of brought us back to this unique moment, like where we started with enterprise, moved away, but we're coming back now.
Yeah, I love that. You said that when we talked before, it just works. And as we know, an enterprise, like that's, I mean, it has to work, right? From, you know, maybe from our side, it just works. From the enterprise side, like it has to work. And so, Amir, I'd love to hear about, you said you've got some really cool use cases, some we know about, some maybe that we don't. We'd love to hear about some of those.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about enterprise XR, I mean, you know, over the years, I mean, that there's the common, really widely known and I think well adopted use cases of like healthcare, education, corporate training, and LBE. Those are the four kind of pillars of enterprise XR deployments. And there's been some amazing work that's been done in that space from some really amazing developers and hardware companies alike. I think what we're seeing at Xreal and being focused on, as Ralph said, both spatial compute and spatial display, is that we're entering into spaces that I think VR headsets always wanted to, but never could, right? And you see that with Ralph wearing his glasses right there. The ability to wear a display, wear glasses, an immersive device for multiple hours a day just was never realistic, right? With VR headsets, with HMDs, with things that have battery packs and weighted, you know, tech on the forefront of your head, the bridge of your nose, fans, all that sort of stuff to keep it cool. So having a lightweight, less expensive headsets allows people to be more productive at work, allows them to wear their glasses for 4, 8, 12 hours throughout the day. All of a sudden, you know, setting up multiple screens in front of them, whether they're sitting on a flight, they're sitting in their hotel room, they're sitting at their desk. There's some really unique use cases that we're seeing in work efficiency. And I'd say also in a lot of the use cases that, well, work efficiency on productivity, and even the use cases that we've seen out there today, I think we're starting to see a shift to companies saying, well, you know, we know we deployed VR headsets for this in healthcare, that in the classroom, or this in corporate training. Can we do that again with a less expensive pair of glasses? And as we innovate, and I think maybe Ralph will talk a little bit about some of our kind of next gen stuff that we've made public recently, as we innovate and we expand our field of view, we integrate, you know, some of our amazing partnerships that we have with like Google and Qualcomm and those sorts of people, the lines are getting blurred and the gap between AR glasses and fully immersive VR headsets are becoming smaller and smaller. And that's a big win for the enterprise. That's a big win for students in the classroom. That's a big win for Fortune 500 and major financial organizations. It allows wider adoption. And as I've been saying, I kind of feel like a broken record. It really kicks the door wide open, right? The door has been open and we've seen some really exciting deployments in enterprise XR, but now the door is getting kicked wide open and we're seeing the ability for everyone to come and join and experience and benefit from this tech.
I don't want to put either of you on the spot, but I kind of want to ask, is there a specific enterprise deployment or use case that in particular gets you excited? And maybe even could you describe it from the point of view of that employee who shows up on a Monday and what's different about their workday because they have a pair of AR glasses?
So I think there's some interesting ones. I think remote assistance is a really cool one, right? Because as you have people out in the field doing various roles and responsibilities in organizations, being able to wear glasses and pull up critical information on whatever you're working on, whether you're repairing an air conditioning unit or you're climbing a cellular tower like we just posted up recently on some of our social media, being able to gather that information and leverage that critical information in your role, in your responsibilities and that time sensitive or even dangerous task, I think is pretty amazing. Again, it's one of those things where, you know, we always imagined the possibilities of VR being truly used out in the field, but there was always limitations in the way the hardware is just has to be designed. You know, Ralph, I don't know, can you think of any, you know, interesting or kind of killer use cases that you've come across?
Yeah, I'm going to say the one that honestly excites me the most might be the simplest, but I find it to be the most impactful. And I will come back to what Amir just said. We posted this on our socials the other day of a guy in a hard hat. He's out climbing to the top of some cell tower and he's just climbing. He gets up there and instead of pulling out his magazine or his notebook to read his notes, he puts on glasses and he puts a giant 3-foot screen off to the side so he can read his steps with whatever he's doing. And he can show us the first person point of view of what that looks like from a few hundred feet in the air, giant virtual screen. And there he is just doing his stuff. It's awesome. It's like, that's cool. But for me, the thing that I find exciting and impactful is what I'm doing right now. So I've got a 310-inch curved screen in front of me that goes from side to side, where I've got you guys' 3-foot high heads right here in front of me. I've got some notes over here. I will admit a cheat sheet because there's some numbers I don't want to get wrong. My email's over there. My internal chat's over there. The productivity I get out of this and what I hear from desk jockeys, whether they work in an office or they're on the go, airplanes or hotels where you do not have your external screens, is just through the roof. And we see a lot of this because it's a real easy introduction for employees, for companies, employees of, I need more space. I need to be able to focus. I need to be able to home in, lose the distractions, and especially the business traveler focus of where we don't have those external screens. So this ability to like plug in literally anywhere and your workstation goes where you go, because it's not just your laptop screen anymore. That's what I find the most impactful, because it just works. It's so easy. And the deployments are so easy, right? We don't need to overly control what the glasses do from an MDM or something, because we plug right into all your devices. So like, I really genuinely find that to be the most impactful and kind of exciting, because it comes back to this idea of, this isn't just an enterprise specific unit. You can use it for personal, you can use it for whatever, which I think that makes it easier for teams, employees, and staff to be more attracted to a device when they realize, like, I could probably have a little fun with this too, right? I could, you know, if and when I'm surfing Instagram or YouTube, I still get a really fun experience, but I can use this for work too. It's not just my work thing. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I have just a work thing, I tend to loathe it because, like, well, this is just an albatross now. Like, the ability to plug this in and watch a movie on a flight, but then also go kick ass at the day job because I'm so much more productive. Like, I like that 1-2 punch a lot. And we find a lot of employees are real attracted to that too.
And one thing to add to that too, Brad, I remember, you know, when we recorded a podcast maybe 2 years ago, we actually talked about, and I think you brought this question up, was like, you know, where are we at with like adoption in companies? Like, are we at a 1-to-1, you know, level yet, right? Because I think we all started in XR as like 100s to 1, right? Maybe sometimes 1,000s to 1. There was one VR headset on the floor, you know, the warehouse or the office floor, and people would kind of check it out and use it for different things. And that number has continued to shrink to maybe dozens to single units. To highlight what Ralph just said, you know, the fact that these glasses are so easily used for both personal and professional use cases, I think we're truly getting to that stage where we're at a 1-to-1 capability in the enterprise. And I think that's exciting as well for IT managers, for you know, budget owners, you know, those sorts of things that you know, now you've got a laptop, you've got an iPad, you've got a phone, an Android device, whatever that is, and now you can, you know, tag on a pair of immersive glasses that can work across all those different projects needs.
Yeah. And like your IT managers, they know how to do their job with this PC or with this phone. They know how to lock it down or open it up. They know how to deploy there. Maybe they don't know how to deploy into a VR headset or an AR headset. I bet they do. But in case they don't, we don't need to learn something new. This is passing through everything from this, right? Like continue to lock down, continue to manage your host device because that's where your security needs to be. Just let this be your monitor for now. And now when you want to get carried away and do really unique AR applications, that's cool. Build them into this device, build them into this device, and we'll bring it to life through this device, right? You don't have to learn a new language to make these work.
Yeah, that's cool. And Amir, what you said about the one-to-one, I mean, I think, yeah, like the AR glasses are the best shot in the short run of getting there, which is very exciting. On that note, I'm very curious just from either one of you, kind of where you see the market at right now, more specifically with just the growth of AR versus VR, growth of AR in general.
Yeah, they haven't crossed yet, but VR's going down, AR's going up. And, you know, they're still a little bit away from one another because of the legacy and the existing deployments. But VR deployments and VR sales are declining. AR deployments and AR sales are inclining. Now, some say global AR shipments are going to reach 600,000 units here in 2025. Fantastic. With high estimates as high as 32 million units by 2030. I love it. What'll be interesting to watch is the segmentation of AR. What is AI glasses and what are AR displays? And they're like super different products. Number one question I always get is, how are these different from the Meta Ray-Bans? Night and day different, different products. You got AI glasses versus AR glasses. And like, it's real easy for folks to get confused. So we're at that moment where AR really is on the incline. It'll take a little while, I think, before it passes VR, given the legacy. But we're also seeing reports every day about more FANG companies and big tech players moving further on their AR glasses. We saw reports yesterday that Amazon's got a couple in the hopper. That's exciting. We've all known that Meta's got more in the hopper, both with monocular and binocular displays. And then their Project Orion dev kit way into the future. Reports say Apple's got theirs in the works. Great. Bring it on. Rising tides of AR is going to lift all of us. But I do think we're at the moment where we're seeing more and more deployments because the big companies are realizing like the form factor, the comfort, the portability makes so much difference.
That's great. I think, you know, I wouldn't say we're seeing VR shipments go down. I think enterprises are scaling up use cases. I think where you're right is the relative AR to VR. You know, it used to be that AR was so really specific to, you know, if it was a manufacturing firm that could afford, you know, a high-end glass that lasted 2 hours or whatever, pretty small use case, pretty small footprint. I think what you're saying, and I think is right, is that the long-term potential of AR is it is the one-to-one spatial device that everyone's going to have. And I think what I want to tap into a little bit more is your, I think, hypothesis that we don't need to have a dedicated AR device that has all the compute on board, but that we already have these devices that do that. And so we just need to plug them in. Where do you, I guess the question I have is that the long-term future, or do you think that's the midterm? And eventually we will get to the point where everything is just on board with the glasses.
Yeah, we'll eventually get there, but I think it's generations away.
It's a ways away.
Not a year away, yeah. I think it's a ways away, not a year away. And I think we'll see that through some of the big tech companies who are investing billions upon billions in R&D. They are reaching that same conclusion that like their all-in-one devices are years away. And they're probably going to put out split compute in the short term, or they're going to put out really low powered monocular notification display glasses, which is cool, but a low powered notification display glasses is not going to be a full powered cinematic images everywhere, AR glasses. So we're going to have that in between period for a little while. We're going to stay focused on split compute because again, these devices are really good at powering almost any scenario you need. So let's let them keep doing it and we'll pass through and augment it, literally augment the experience, not just augment the world around us.
Could you just give a little bit of a comparison? Because I think AR is thrown out there, all AR glasses aren't the same. We see AR glasses that are, everything is on the device. It has a battery pack. it has a really limited FOV and it has, you know, maybe a 2 or 3 hour run time before you've got a hot swap. That's just a different device than what you're wearing right now. It's heavier. So just give me a little bit of, I don't know, you don't have to give me all the specs, but what does it feel like wearing those? How is the experience different than some of the Air glasses that we've seen in the industry to date?
You're right. It's an important distinction. So what I'm wearing today has a 57 degree field of view, massive in the AR space, right? We can remember when HoloLens launched with a postage stamp field of view, right? But HoloLens was an impressive computer, right? Yeah. HoloLens was a computer, super impressive, but that field of view. So I'm wearing a 57 degree field of view right now with a 310 inch curved screen, which I have to move my head side to side to see if the screen is so large. 57 degrees is a very big field of view. Like that's super big. The average AR glasses today is probably like 48 to 50 degree FOV. So adding that additional seven, like it gives me more this way. It gives me more this way. Other than my 310 inch curved screen, I can get a 222 inch screen into my field of view without having to move my head to see corner to corner. Like that's impactful. That's so much real estate to fill up. And that doesn't have to be one giant screen. That's just screen space. That could be holograms placed anywhere in that field of view. So like that gives you a lot to see into a field of view as opposed to a monocular notification only display might give me a little bit of text. And like there's probably a lot of good use cases for that, but it won't give me rich visuals. So it depends on what you need. You can get notification, monocular display, green spinach text glasses today, built-in battery, small life. That's okay. I'm not going to run out of battery because I'm plugged into my PC that's plugged into the wall, like literally all day. I'm 84 grams in weight. It's like 2.5 ounces. When you compare that against a 1.5 pound VR helmet, it's a night and day difference. The weight, the pressure matters a lot. We've really spent a lot of time balancing the weight. So it's really balanced on my nose versus my ears. It feels balanced. It's not as lightweight as the glasses you're wearing, Will, but they're different. Right. You're wearing an all day wearable. Meta, to their credit with the Meta Ray-Bans, is an all day wearable. I'm wearing an all day portable. It's there when I need it. Right. I wear it when I'm working all day because I need my virtual screens, but super easy to take off. I'm not wearing this when I jump in the car. I'm not wearing this when I go get a cup of coffee, but it's ready. I have it available. It's super easy to toss into the case and carry around as needed. It's an all day portable. And I think that's just an important distinction as folks think more about this kind of technology, right? All day wearables versus all day portables. There's a lot of value in the glasses you're wearing and putting a display into those, but we are a ways off until that is a 50 plus degree cinematic 1080p screen. It's going to be spinach screen text for a little while.
Although I will say, Ralph, you know, you and I went to a Mariner game recently, and I think we were walking to someplace afterwards. And you pulled up this, you know, kind of a program. You pulled up Google Maps on the glasses and I threw it on. And, you know, we're walking down the street and I see the arrows pointing which way to go. And it's, I mean, the what's here now is crazy exciting. The potential just blows the lid off of that, right? I mean, the where this stuff can go is limitless.
Yeah. And I was going to come back around to I think the point of your question there, Will. We're generations away from cutting the tail because so much is going through it. Battery is such an important one because when you do put batteries into those glasses, they do get hot, heavy, and expensive. Like I said, we got to try to keep those things down for mass adoption because a product you can use for 2 hours and you have to go charge it up. I mean, how you're going to get 2 hour use out of that and then be just handicapped by it. It's going to be such a limiting factor.
One thing I'll add to this is one thing I really love is that X-Real leans into the tether. Like there are companies that have like tried this and they hide it in stock images. They don't mention it, things like that. But truly the benefit that you're getting from the tether onto a spatial device of keeping it lightweight, no heat being emitted, being able to wear it long term. You know, majority of the conversations I've been having already with you know, major enterprise organizations are like, yeah, makes sense. That's fine. You know, because what we're trying to do is enable people to wear these for longer than just a 15, 30, 45 minute bite. And if that means having a tether into a Beam Pro, totally fine. You know, that makes total sense. You know, there's nothing lost and much gained.
Yeah, and hot swapping a puck is fast and easy, right? Like if you're in the field and you've got, you know, our puck in your pocket or phone, it's easy to hot swap that battery or plug in an extra battery into the port of that. So like that's easier than swapping your whole helmet or headset out.
Yeah, I think all that makes a lot of sense and sounds like the tech today is very, very impressive. I am curious as we kind of think about the future, right? So you're making this, from what I understand, correct me here, but you're expanding an enterprise with the current device that was built for the consumer space. And now I know there's some new devices coming and you've got this expanded focus. So we'd love to hear what you can share. And also one thing we haven't talked about, you know, especially when we think about one-to-one is price point. So anything you can share about price point, I mean, obviously on the devices in market today, but for the future as well, I think that'd be very interesting for our listeners.
Yeah, it's a good point. And that takes us into probably where we'll go next. So we've got multiple models in market today at multiple price points. You know, some of our earlier generation stuff that's still in market, but no longer being produced is accessible at $200, $300, low $400, plug and play. The current lineup that we call the One Series, which has two models, is in market at $499 and $649. And the difference is larger fields of view, slimmer technology inside the glasses that you can't see from the outside. At $500 and $650. But different prices at different, for different features. And then of course, Enterprise has some more unique stuff on top of that. And then where we will go, we'll continue to have our Enterprise and consumer lines that are plug and play, really simple and easy to use. You can develop for, or you can just plug in. We'll continue down that path. And then we're also moving hard in the direction with our partners at Google and Qualcomm in the Android XR space. We're committed to Android XR, which is super exciting. It's got a launch in front of it soon. You know, it's been announced for close to a year now. It was really announced in December of last year with Samsung as the launch partner with that helmet, which is fantastic. I mean, what an impressive piece of technology. So that's coming soon. And then our focus is on what we call Project Aura, which is the OST XR glasses of Android XR. Split compute plugged into a unique Android XR puck. Crazy software that Google has created for the XR space. And then Unreal technology from us. So we've taken our current glasses and just overclocked everything. 70-degree field of view, which is irresponsibly large in this space, which is awesome. So we're going to go hard into that Android XR space because that combination of XR software built for XR by Google and Android, Qualcomm chipsets into the puck with Snapdragon, awesome. Our glasses bring in a crazy big field of view, plus SLAM sensors, plus cameras and RGBs. And then you unite all that under Gemini and AI to be a legitimate XR assistant for you. It's a whole package. So that's going to be really exciting. We can't go into pricing and availability yet, just a little too soon. But we're going to be, you'll see a lot from us in the Android XR space in 2026.
The excitement that I'm seeing and hearing from XR developers, from distributors, from strategic partners on Project Aura is like nothing I've ever seen. And I've been lucky enough to be involved in some really impressive product launches, you know, in my career in the XR space. But this is a whole nother level. I mean, the messages, the DMs, the calls, the texts, the hey, you know, let me grab you for 15 minutes. Like, when can we see it? When can we try it? What do we need to do to start developing for it? And I think that's a testament to what Google's doing with Android XR. I think the platform they're putting in place for this and for broad development and broad expansion of like similar tech using this, you know, this platform is super impressive. Our partnership with Qualcomm and you know the amazing, you know, silicon that we've got integrated in these devices, it's going to be some exciting stuff. We're certainly excited to partner with Arbor XR on this and really expand you know, Aura in the enterprise and take advantage of the global opportunities there.
Yeah. And so that's a bespoke puck glasses combination where it's a unique puck. So that's not bring your own device, which I think is great for the enterprise space where it gives you so much more freedom to really make that your solution when you can customize that to the nines instead of having to fit your customization into a PC or an existing phone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very, very, very exciting. Guys, this has been great. We appreciate your time. If people want to stay up to speed on what's happening, what's the best place? Should they follow you individually, or where can they keep up with you guys?
Yeah, you can find us at xreel.com is the easiest place to find us. Our name as a website, xreel.com, you'll find our stuff there. You'll find our consumer solutions. You'll find our enterprise solutions. We're across social media as xreel_global, a certain company that owns X won't let us have XReel by itself because it's too close to their name. So that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, we're on socials at XReel_global. We're at trade shows and events, right? You can't miss us at AES coming up in 2 weeks. We'll be at Enterprise Summit, like super psyched for that. Of course, we're at CES. We're at Augmented World Expo in June. We're at the big shows. But yeah, you can find us at XReel.com. And you'll start to see more of our enterprise landing pages light up as we bring this program online.
And I would say, you know, hit us both up on LinkedIn. We're both on there. You know, great place. I get messages globally now, you know, regularly from partners, end users, developers, distributors, you know, in Europe, Middle East, North America, South America, you know, Australia, you name it. So, you know, if you want to know more about what we've got on the market today, you want to talk about Project Aura, just shoot Ralph a DM and we will gladly jump on a call and get you the info you need and get started on a strategic partnership. Because the opportunities are there. I mean, the opportunities in AR and the enterprise are here. It's a big, you know, I think launching point for our industry in general. And I think it's an exciting opportunity for everyone to get in on this.
Yeah, and I gotta say, speaking of opportunities and what's coming and where we're at, I wanted to throw the question, kind of flip it to you, Brad and Will. You know, what do you guys think AR needs to do to accelerate and succeed in the enterprise space? Or what's been missing? Like, what's going to help fill the gap? Or what do end users and customers need to see so we can make sure we're taking care of it for them?
Yeah, you know, I think right now, like what we see live in the field is mostly VR. And we talk a lot in the enterprise because the value prop is just so clear, right? Like it's just unequivocally, people learn faster, they retain more information. There's just real powerful ROI. And the use cases we do have for AR are almost exclusively remote assist. And there's some challenges there with, you know, sometimes the cord is a challenge and you know, so you have different types of devices that are necessary. So I think a lot of what you talked about today is exciting for the enterprise, but I think that killer use case, you know, I mean, like we have to pitch XR all the time, all over the place. And it's right now it's really easy because there's so much ROI around the learning component. And I don't know that there is that killer use case yet for AR. And I think once we have that and we have some proof around it, then I think, you know, especially at the price point and the ease of use, et cetera, it's like off to the races.
I think there are a couple use cases. I think remote assist is the one that is the most widespread. It's like the obvious, you know, clear winner because it's compelling and it solves it. It saves companies, I don't want to say millions of dollars, but potentially millions of dollars by even just not having to send out experts flying them out to the middle of nowhere to fix a machine when you can just get them, you know, beam them in and let somebody else be the hands and feet. But we do see, I think there's a lot in healthcare. I mean, the surgical guidance, we're seeing surgeons doing the overlays. I think in retail, you know, there's the, you know, virtualizations, try-ons, and then in manufacturing, I think remote assist is a strong use case, but also, I think there's increasing growth in kind of the part picking and navigating the warehouse. And, you know, I think that some of the challenges that I've seen are, it's more about the hardware, right? They do a pilot and it works well, but if you have a headset that only has an hour battery and it's pretty heavy and employees don't like to wear it, maybe you get them to put it on for a short session for a remote assistance type scenario, but doing part picking all day with glasses on, I know it's happening, but I think I think the adoption side is tricky and then just, yeah, kind of making it work.
Well, and I think the one thing also that like XReel and this form factor is doing is it's taking the XR use cases from back of house and bringing it now more towards the front of house. Like some of the things that you just kind of touched on, Will and Brad, like previously it was like, hey, for core enterprise, whether it's like retail, manufacturing, it's putting the VR headsets in a classroom, in a back room, in a warehouse, you know, where they're being used because you don't have line of sight. Even with the pass-through cameras, you don't have really a realistic line of sight to what's going on around you. Now with this form factor, like One Pro, like, you know, what's coming with Project Aura, it's something that you can wear out on the, you can walk the retail floor, you can, you know, walk, you know, outside of a building, you can again scale a, you know, a cellular tower and overlay critical information, right? It's the difference between kind of, you know, kind of rendering what's around you versus actually seeing what's around you with you know, critical information being fed to you overlaid in that experience.
Yeah. And I appreciate y'all sharing that. And I, again, couldn't agree more with what everybody's saying. Remote assist is so important. And we've just last week turned on live streaming for remote assist scenarios, which is unique because these glasses don't have a native camera to them. So easy to get information, but how are we going to send information back if somebody needs to see what I see? So we just turned this on last week in a real unique way. Right in the middle of my glasses, there's a little camera, which is modular. So this is a little removable camera, and it took us a little while to figure out how to do this, but we can do 6 DOF anchor, crazy cool through an RGB camera, but now we can turn on remote or live streaming to video conference apps, video chat apps through our puck. So I did this the other day in Google Meet, in Zoom, in Microsoft Teams just to try it out. And like, there it is. We've turned that on for a pair of glasses that did not natively have a camera. So we want to help folks see, like, we can do this just off the shelf for us, but stuff that we spent a lot of time building behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love that. Well, guys, this has been great. Thank you for your time. And we look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the.
See you soon.
Oh man, it's been a while since we've gone deep with AR. That was fun. It's exciting to hear about where the tech is at and kind of what's coming.
You know what I kept thinking about? When I was a kid, I remember flying on planes and reading the SkyMall magazine. And I'd read it like cover to cover. And there was always an insert for the same type of glasses. And I remember as a kid thinking, like, this is the future. This is going to be so awesome. And one time I got my hands on them and it was the worst experience. There were these chunky glasses that were plastic and they had the tiniest little screens that were blurry. And I'm like, that is like, they've basically built as like what as a kid I imagined a pair of glasses could be sitting on a plane, you know, with a immersive big screen in front of you. That's pretty cool. I think the price point is really interesting to me. I can't think of anything else that's AR that's in that price range. And then the FOV, I think if anybody's tried, I mean, we were joking about HoloLens and that was such a cool prototype. But I remember when the first time I put on the HoloLens, I had to move my head around to find, like, if there's something embedded in the room, like a little troll or whatever, you had to really search around with your eyes and with your head to get the FOV dialed in on that thing that was standing there. Which just completely breaks the immersion and just doesn't work. You know, if you're an employee and you're working on something and you've got a pair of AR glasses, like you can't, it needs to just be there. It needs to be in your field of view. It needs to work. It needs to be as good, if not better, than what we have available now, which is I'm sitting in front of a large monitor where I can put all any kind of spreadsheet, you know, things side by side. So it has to be at least that good, because I don't know if just the fact that it's glasses on your head is enough. I think it is important and it's nice to be able to have that form factor, but if the experience in the headset isn't there, and hearing Ralph talk about, you know, he's in it 4 or 5 hours a day, he did a good job selling it, but yeah, I think it's interesting. And maybe this is kind of, we've seen a lot of AR glasses that are the all-in-one, the battery and everything that's set up on the glass. And those I think are good for certain use cases, especially if you don't want to have a cord. But the idea of having a lightweight pair of glasses, connected to a puck that's in your pocket, I think we're hearing that that's where more and more companies are moving. So it's fun to see.
Well, you are officially the first person I've ever met who purchased something from SkyWall magazine, Will. So that's a new fact I did not know about you. But as always, we appreciate you, everyone listening, and make sure you check us out and subscribe wherever you consume your podcasts, and we will catch you next time.